Hello, this is Sarah with the News Gazette, dated August 14th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, One Central Spot. Illini Union renovations revitalize the familiar building with new spaces, amenities for students to discover. By Abisola DeHuntsey. Champaign. Students returning to the University of Illinois campus next week will find a familiar building with some noticeable changes. The Illini Union's lower level has been transformed from a traditional cafeteria-style food court into a more vibrant gathering space, while construction continues with new wellness facilities, elevator upgrades, roof repairs, and other improvements throughout the building. Becky Salzman, executive director of the Illini Union, said that as the community center of campus, the changes are intended to strengthen the building's role as a central gathering place on campus. The union draws between 14,000 and 17,000 visitors on a typical day and about 3 million visitors over the course of the year, Salzman added. As the community builders on campus, the executive director said, This is the one place where, regardless of what your program of study is or what your status is as a student, staff, faculty, everyone congregates. The most visible transformation for returning students is the lower level, formerly known as the food court and now called the underground. Following a comprehensive renovation last year, the space has moved away from its traditional cafeteria layout and now features more comfortable lounge seating and a more vibrant design. The union has also refreshed paint throughout portions of the building, incorporating more Illinois colors into its hallways. With the opening of Brian's Bistro in the spring, the underground has filled its remaining food vendor vacancy, Salzman said. Salzman emphasized that the result of the changes has encouraged students to spend more time in the updated space. And union staff are seeing a lot more students hanging out in the lounges, packing in. And students like Marcus Vance, an undergraduate junior, agree. Seeing the underground completely full again with actual sit-down spots makes a huge difference between classes, the computer science major said. I used to come just to grab food and dip, but now I feel more inclined to hang out and work on group projects. But the changes extend beyond dining. Construction is underway on a new wellness space in the lower level that will include a satellite clinic for McKinley Health Center alongside a meditation, reflection, and sensory room. Salzman said the project will give students a more central location to access health services while providing a dedicated space for quiet reflection. The Wellness and McKinley spaces are projected to be completed in early spring of 2027. Coming to a massive campus as a first-gen student was overwhelming at first, so having a place where everything is in one central spot really helps, said Elena Soriano, 19, a sophomore majoring in psychology. Knowing that they're adding a McKinley satellite clinic and a reflection room right here in the Union makes taking care of your health so much easier if you're already running between classes all day like me. An extensive elevator modernization project also is underway. The elevators are beyond their expected lifespan, Salzman said, and replacement parts have become increasingly difficult to find. The executive director noted that one elevator in a bank of two will be taken offline, while the other remains operational before the elevators are switched. The project is expected to be completed in spring of 2027. Roof construction also continues throughout the building. Work on the north side of the building has been completed and scaffolding has been removed. Crews are now working on the south side, including replacing some windows, while the roof over the central building near the Courtyard Cafe remains under construction. The roof project is expected to be completed by November. The updates also extend to interior furnishings. New furniture is scheduled for the first floor north lounge this fall, while updated seating for the Courtyard Cafe is planned during the coming fiscal year. Despite the construction, the union continues to host a wide range of campus and public events. Register student organizations hold meetings and programs in the building, while career fairs and international conferences bring students and visitors from across the university together. The union also hosts weddings and receptions, which Salzman said have seen a resurgence this summer. The building also has become a gathering place for major international events. This summer, it hosted FIFA World Cup viewing events in the Courtyard Cafe that drew large crowds. You could hear the crowd when something exciting happened all the way up here, Salzman said. It was fun, so fun. For staff, the physical upgrades are ultimately intended to strengthen the building's role as a central gathering place for the university community. The union houses a mix of uses like career fairs that draw students from different academic programs and international conferences that bring people speaking different languages into the building. Salzman said those varied uses are what give the union its distinct atmosphere, and what she hopes the renovations will continue to preserve long after she retires in November. I have always said this. I believe that the Illini Union has an energy about it that really no other building on campus has, Salzman said. Champaign County Board. Talks set on putting home rule proposal on ballot. Officials claim intent to block data centers, but would gain tax hike power. By Jim Day. Champaign County Executive Steve Summers has scheduled a special meeting on Monday so county board members can decide whether to ask voters in November whether the county should adopt home rule status. The only two counties in Illinois, Cook and DuPage, have home rule authority. Under the current arrangement, Champaign County officials can exercise only the authority specifically given to them by state law. Home rule counties have much more flexibility, particularly in the area of taxation. Board Chair Jennifer Locke said the home rule authority proposal comes in response to community opposition to data centers and the limitations under our current form of government. Locke is referring to home rule communities having enhanced authority to block data centers. But Joe McCoy, executive director of the Illinois Association of Counties in Springfield, said counties already have that power under their zoning authority, though he admits it's possible such zoning solutions will face legal challenges. I don't believe a non-home rule county can arbitrarily deny a data center simply because they don't want one, he said. I also don't believe a non-home rule county can take a local legislative action to prohibit data centers entirely without the prospect of an eventual legal challenge that they overstepped their zoning authority. Locke responded by encouraging citizens to attend an August 31st meeting of the county's data center task force and speak with our lawyers. State's attorney, Julia Reitz, said her office consulted with the executive's office only on the question of when the board must vote on the proposed ballot question. But we have not had time to explore the underlying issue of data centers, she said. The county board's declared moratorium on data centers in the county is scheduled to expire in April. Although much consternation has been expressed about local data center construction, no proposals to build any here are pending. There have been elsewhere in the state. If approved, the home rule question will be the latest in a series of referendums posed by the county board to the public. Board members have asked voters to abolish the county auditor's office. When the public rejected that proposal, the board voted to strip the county auditor of all his employees and move most of the office's functions to the county executive's office. The board also sought to persuade voters to approve a 0.25-cent sales tax increase to fund county programs. Voters overwhelmingly said no. Some see the home rule measure as a backdoor method of giving the board vast new authority to raise property taxes unilaterally rather than asking voters for permission. That was the view expressed by board member John Farney. He was taken by surprise by the Thursday afternoon announcement of the special meeting, but he immediately focused on the property tax issue. "I don't trust us," he said, referring to himself and his fellow board members. Farney has long opposed adopting local home rule power in Champaign County because it would be used to raise taxes. Board member Emily Rodriguez, however, is as enthusiastic about home rule as Farney is critical. She has said one of her goals as a board member is to eliminate poverty in Champaign County, an effort that would require vast revenue increases to fund new or expanded social programs. Locke, however, said the measure is not intended as a tax increase, and that the county board is determined to govern within existing revenues. The Illinois Municipal League describes home rule entities as those that are autonomous and free to exercise governing authority independent of the General Assembly and governor in most cases. It said they have greater flexibility over local finances and regulations involving building, zoning, sanitation, nuisance abatement, civil disturbance, and certain criminal offenses. Both Champaign and Urbana are home rule municipalities. Jim Day is a staff writer for the News Gazette. His email is jdey@news-gazette.com. History. Area history. In 1926, a Champaign resident, Mrs. W. H. Smith of 716 South Foley Avenue, has possessed a historical treasure for the past 50 years. It's a newspaper, the Ulster County Gazette, that's 126 years old. Published in Kingston, New York on January 4, 1800, it contains articles and poetry commemorating the death and burial of George Washington, who had died about 3 weeks earlier. Mrs. Smith, who has had the paper framed, says she received it through the mail from Texas. She cannot recall who gave it to her. In 1976, Colony West Subdivision, at the corner of Prospect Avenue and Windsor Road, will celebrate its second anniversary Sunday with the showing of three new models, two chalets and the Villanelle. A large two-bedroom duplex, the Villanelle is priced at $45,950. In 2011, even with IBM pulling out of the Blue Waters project here, industry analysts say that the leading-edge supercomputer could very well go on with another vendor, but quite possibly at a higher cost, and perhaps missing its fall 2012 deadline. The building, with its advanced water cooling system, expected to become an industry standard, as well as a massive electrical infrastructure, has been largely completed for about a year. But on August 6th, IBM announced, tersely, that it was pulling out of the project and would return the $30 million it has been paid for its powerful servers. The servers were members of the Power 7 family, which helped IBM's Watson score a publicity coup on Jeopardy. International history, today's highlight. On August 14th, 1935, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed the Social Security Act into law, ensuring income for elderly Americans and creating a federal unemployment insurance program. On this date, in 1936, in front of an estimated 20,000 spectators, Rainey Bethea was hanged in Owensboro, Kentucky, in the last public execution in the United States. In 1942, President Franklin D. Roosevelt and British Prime Minister Winston Churchill signed the Atlantic Charter, which detailed the post-war goals of the two nations. Top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy staff writer Luke Taylor. Bellying up with, on Fridays, we'll spotlight the men and women serving up cold ones and conversations in our neck of the woods. Let us know about your favorite bartender by emailing ltaylor@news-gazette.com. By day, Alex York helps make sure animals are well taken care of. By night, he makes sure people are. York has been bartending for just over 3 years, serving up drinks at Muhammad's Yellow & Company, as guests enjoy comedians who perform at the venue. The shows that we put on are personal and exciting, with a lot of care going into how we treat our guests. We have shows nearly every week of the year, York said. While he's a lifelong Tolono resident, he spends a good amount of time in Muhammad between bartending and working customer service at All About Animals Pet Clinic. While visiting with people's pets sounds like a good time, York said the evening job is too. My favorite thing about being a bartender is getting paid for having fun, but never knowing who you will get to meet next, he said. Working at a venue specifically offers opportunities to meet cool celebrities like Tiffany, whose best-known hit was I Think You're Alone Now in 1987, and enjoying performances. Another highlight, he said, was David Kushner, known for his roles in movies like Anchorman and Get Smart. York said he recreated some of his characters on stage. People should come to Yellow for a night of fun, like nowhere else in Champaign, York said. Questions, comments, suggestions, email jrossow@news-gazette.com. Powerball. Winning $1 billion ticket sold at Quincy Hy-Vee by Dave Collins, The Associated Press. A Powerball ticket sold at a gas station in western Illinois was the sole winner of the $1 billion jackpot, ending a three-month drought without a top prize victor. The ticket that won the jackpot Wednesday night was purchased at a Hy-Vee station in Quincy, about 100 miles west of the state capital of Springfield along the Missouri border, Illinois lottery officials said. The winning numbers were 4, 2, 6, 666769, with the Powerball number of 9. It wasn't immediately clear if the winner has come forward yet. The prize comes in the form of either an annuity of $1 billion paid over 29 years or a lump sum payment of $450.5 million. Winners almost always take the lump sum. It was the first Powerball jackpot won since May 2nd. And the first since ticket sales began in the United Kingdom last month. At $2 per play, the odds of winning the jackpot are 1 in 292 million. The $1.04 billion grand prize was the eighth largest in the Powerball history, game organizers said. Another lottery game, Mega Millions, has had a $1 billion jackpot winner. 4 tickets sold for Wednesday's drawing in Arizona, California, Florida, and North Carolina. Hit 5 of the numbers but missed the Powerball. They were worth $1 million apiece. A ticket sold in Massachusetts also matched all the numbers, except the Powerball, but won $2 million because of the Power Play multiplier option, costing an extra $1 per play. More than 3 million tickets won lesser cash prizes. The John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Performing Arts. Board votes to renovate venue, reinscribe Trump's name on it. By Jessica Gelt. Los Angeles Times. Washington. The Kennedy Center Board of Trustees on Thursday voted to move forward with President Donald Trump's plan to close the building for renovation for 2 years, according to the Associated Press. During the same meeting, the board, which is filled with the president's allies, also voted to inscribe Trump's name on the building. The votes came after a federal judge in May ordered a halt to Trump's plan to close the center, and also that Trump's name be removed from the building, where it had been added to the venue's official name. The new inscription will read, "Restored and renovated by President Donald J. Trump," according to the New York Times. Representative Joyce Beatty, Democrat, Ohio, confirmed the news to the AP. The move appears to be an attempt to sidestep U.S. District Judge Christopher R. Cooper's ruling that the law makes crystal clear that the center is to be named for President Kennedy. Cooper wrote in the same ruling that the board's original vote in March to close the venue beginning July 5th was ill-informed and seemingly preordained. But he left open the possibility of a closure if, after a more thorough investigation by the board into the plan, the decision was again made. The board's recent vote came after it reviewed information about the repercussions and the costs of a closure. This included three scenarios: a full closure, a partial closure over a period of 5 years, and a limited series of phased closures, sources close to the situation told the AP, asking to remain anonymous. It is unclear if the recent vote will again face legal pushback. The Kennedy Center has been in crisis for more than a year, beginning in February 2025, when Trump fired its board and appointed himself chairman. He swiftly appointed Richard Grenell, a former ambassador to Germany and a staunch ally, as acting director of the center. Under Trump and Grenell, the venue ruptured audiences and lost a slew of high-profile shows and artists, including Hamilton, Shonda Rhimes, and Ben Folds. The Washington National Opera also left the venue, which it had occupied for decades. The situation worsened late last year after the board voted to rename the venue the Donald J. Trump and the John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Performing Arts. Performers, including jazz musician Chuck Redd, canceled a variety of holiday shows. The Kennedy Center threatened to sue Redd, creating a legal drama that continued until this week when a Superior Court judge in Washington, D.C., ordered the center to pay more than $250,000 to Redd to cover attorney's fees and other legal costs. Image shows workers looking up at the John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Performing Arts after they updated the sign to add President Donald Trump's name in December. In Washington, D.C., a judge found that renaming to be illegal, so the Trump-appointed board said it has found a new way to inscribe his name on the building. Jim Watson. Executive orders. Critics. No good justification for Trump vaccine overhaul. Washington. Public health experts have been quick to condemn an executive order from President Donald Trump aimed at upending childhood vaccinations in the U.S. But the biggest obstacles may be the unprecedented financial and logistical challenges it would impose on parents, health providers, and drug makers. Monday's announcement by the Republican president calls for separating combination shots, including the measles, mumps, and rubella, or MMR vaccine, into separate injections. Appointments for that and other vaccinations should be spaced out whenever possible, the order states. To accomplish that, drug makers would need to revive a slate of individual vaccines that have not been widely used in the U.S. for decades. They would also have to build new manufacturing plants capable of producing millions more vaccine doses than the nation currently uses. For parents, unbundling the MMR vaccine and spacing out the shots would mean returning to the doctor's office many more times than is currently needed. Those appointments could also strain pediatricians who typically administer the shots, while driving up costs tied to syringes and other medical supplies. Studies in the U.S. and other countries have shown that combination vaccines increase the likelihood that children will be fully protected from infectious diseases before starting school. Health experts say there is no scientific basis for changing course. We do things that are less convenient and more expensive if there's a good reason to do it, said Dr. Anna Durbin of Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. There is no good justification for this. I think it's very bad public health policy. Under Trump's executive order, federal officials are instructed to develop within 90 days plans for breaking up the MMR shot and spacing out other vaccines. But pharmaceutical scientists and former regulators say those changes would likely take years and require drug makers to spend tens of millions of dollars on new studies and manufacturing facilities. Currently, there are no individual vaccines in the U.S. for measles, mumps, or rubella. All the vaccines approved for those viruses by the Food and Drug Administration are combination shots. That three-in-one approach has been the standard in the U.S. since the 1970s. Dr. Jesse Goodman, a former FDA vaccine chief, said companies may have to conduct large studies showing their new individual shots produce immune system boosting reactions in children, similar to the current versions. The specifics would depend upon the quality of data from the original standalone vaccines and how it's viewed by FDA regulators. The question is, how much has changed since then, and how comfortable will the FDA and the companies be relying on those comparisons, said Goodman, who is now a professor at Georgetown University. Manufacturers may also have to demonstrate the safety of new manufacturing facilities and procedures, given that individual measles shots haven't been widely produced in the U.S. for decades. Designing, constructing, and getting federal sign-off for new vaccine plants typically takes about 5 years, according to industry experts. Additionally, Goodman said the FDA would have to review and license each unbundled vaccine separately, a process with no precedent. National manhunt. Trio allegedly stole from cemeteries in 9 states. Orlando. Authorities are searching for a trio of modern tomb raiders that they say has stolen family heirlooms and other valuables from cemeteries in at least 9 states. The suspects, a mother and daughter, and the daughter's boyfriend, went on a tour of the eastern half of the United States, breaking into niches and mausoleums, said Corporal Cole Brazee of the Orange County Sheriff's Office in Florida. Officers have arrest warrants out for Portia Bancroft, 32, her boyfriend, Drake Lee Milam, 33, and her mother, Angela Garrett, 52. All three are from Indianapolis. Brazee said in a video shared to social media. The warrants would have the suspects extradited back to Florida to face charges there. Detectives are investigating 20 cases in Florida and believe there could be many more, according to the sheriff's office. Brazee alleged the suspects have also hit cemeteries in Georgia, Iowa, Minnesota, Oklahoma, New York, North Carolina, and Texas. Rantoul Development. Wingstop plans to open in former Main Scoop, by Jana Wiersema. Rantoul. A chain focused on chicken wings has its eye on Rantoul and could open yet this year. Wingstop has pulled permits and is currently working on renovating the space once held by Main Scoop, said Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower. My understanding is they hope to be open before the end of the year. The Main Scoop closed its Rantoul shop at 801 West Champaign Avenue and 812 Broadmeadow Road in September of 2025. The location is located right off Interstate 57 and less than a mile north of the Rantoul Family Sports Complex. Wingstop also has locations in Champaign and Urbana. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for August 14th. Please stay tuned.